stuff down my face, but I don't, they can still be in.
I have to keep the spree on, I can't.
I think that a lot, it seems to be, you guys are so tough.
To go and read it.
Turn down that channel, we go on, we go up and read, I don't know how you want to describe it, but.
What's your, what's new today? Tell you, you took the last one, you.
Yes, sir. It's difficult, yeah. The link up, the other part of it, and maybe the only way to bring it out is in cross examination. Maybe that's what we have to hold back on.
But at least, in cross examination, I would certainly, this would be one question asked, or, you know, you have to get perjury or anything.
Item after item that he has to be asked about. There is some indication or some information we have that this whole, whatever was left of the group that actually was in Dean's physical possession for him. And that he was handling the payment side. Due to the funds. And there is no clear indication however much really went back to the group. Nobody seems to know, and I'm not even sure the group counted. They took back, well, they know the first installment, they took in December was 40 or 44. And then the rest was just bundled up and taken to him, and with the receipt counted. That way, so
the dean was making some big problem, probably through Scott.
And Hunt apparently believes at this point that Dean was breaking off the payments he was supposed to make. It's interesting that we found out that on about the 17th of April, Hunt sent word through O'Brien.
From what? 73?
From March of this year. That O'Brien got the word from Hunt. That he had to have $122,000.
That's the thing that Dean reported.
That's right. But the interesting part is that O'Brien called Dean and told him that Hunt said he had to have this amount of money, $122,000. Before the sunset. Then Dean said, all right, I'll take care of it. Was told O'Brien. Hunt got the word on the 20th, the day before he talked, that there had been a drop, he should make a pickup. He went and made the pickup, and Hunt's not too stable at this point. I'm told he testified before the grand jury that it was $75,000.
This is the 20th.
On the 20th. He testified before the Senate committee, the same thing, but it was $90,000. And he was very upset at that point, because it hadn't been what it was supposed to be. Well, Hunt is now convinced that somebody raked off the money.
The dean told me that it was fixed all the time.
Apparently, messages were sent through business. But they had arranged the crop. There was some place to be where whoever was handling the payments, Dean in some cases, or LaRue, it possibly could have been John Caulfield who was actually driving the money off. Nobody's ever really been this bank, and Caulfield never stayed to drop the money off. But we're just looking. Maybe Dean did, I doubt it. But at any rate, they passed the word back through business. The money was there to pick up, and Hunt went and picked up the money according to his own testimony. On the 20th, the day before Dean came in. So this apparently was the last payment that was ever made. Was on the 20th. That's what I wanted to cut off. I know it's important to try to nail this back to show that after Dean tells you about the blackmail offer, never another dime was paid.
You have the impression that he was outstanding.
has been paid the day before. If he told O'Neill, he'd take O'Brien. So O'Brien, he would take care of it, and it wasn't about trying to pay his
money. He didn't spend any money. And he never told me.
Well, he was.
He borrowed money first.
He was definitely paying money before that time. And the amount's the same.
He was paying.
Yes, sir. You see, when they asked Bob what to do with the money after election, he thought about it. Bob Hawke.
Who asked?
And well, Rick Strong asked Higby. And I think Higby asked Bob. And Bob said, well, the money came from the committee, you should take it back to. But Higby says, Bob told him, but because they have to report it. But check with Dean to make sure that they report it correctly. That it's handled so they can report it correctly. That's the thing. And Higby tells me that Strong then went shortly thereafter. Apparently, what I'm dealing with is the name of the man who headed them. Lockbox. They got the money, and Strong picked it up. Now, Strong told Higby, then thinks he took it and gave it to Dean. You know?
All of it,
and Dean kept it. And then, Higby says Strong told him that Dean was making payments to the, probably making payments to the defendant side. And that he asked Coleman about this, and Coleman said, oh, he can't do that. That's committee money. And they have to report it. You can't make payments to the defendants on that basis. And that at that point, Strong was told to go get the money and take it to committee. Or to tell Dean that that couldn't be done. So then he went back to Dean. Apparently got the money, put it in his safe, and sometime later delivered it to LaRue, part of it one time. And Strong has a very poor memory about all this at this point in time. I don't know what he'll have reconstructed by the time he testifies, but to this point it's been very late. But at least he has told people. And it's not as strong will not have his meeting as a chemical process. They don't want to. So
what do you think Strong has to
do? I don't know, but there is a possibility
of immunity there.
But not only immunity for him, but there's a possibility that Strong also.
Great sentence.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And there may be others.
Others?
There may have been a couple of others over the
committee.
Yeah.
But not all of them.
No, sir.
All of them.
Sir.
I know they all
know. No, sir. But there may have been a couple of them over the committee. We'll use some of that money. Now, and I talked with Mari. And they're doing their best to run all this money down there. But they're very worried about it. A couple of
them. Hey.
Drop it in the second deal. some of this random question. Daddy was questioning Dean.
Oh, yeah.
And he was giving you random questions. And Fred said, let me ask him something. And right out of the barrel,
where you at?
He said, did you steal the money that they powered me? The $14,000. Just point blank. And said it was terrible about this.
And Dean
said, no, but I used some. You know. And it went from there, and then they broke it out. The actual sum was $15,160.
That big harvest.
The caliber. He still had all of it. Or he put out, he put an identical sum.
A lot of bucks.
In the trust account.
In April.
In early April. After he got his advice to the attorney. Thompson stood the test.
Right. And then he said, but at that time, Dean admitted, though, that he used $4,000.
Did he use $4,800 for his wedding and honeymoon? Spent somewhere between $2,500 and $4,000 for the ring alone. We dug up quite a bit. He sent his wife out to one of the refurbishing ranches before they got married. Cost $2,500 for the week. About a month after they were married, some of the Eurobonds featured. They're all kind of expensive. Quite a bit of jewelry.
Took more than that.
Oh, I'm not satisfied. Yes, that's why we're pursuing.
Who's helping?
Hirsch. Hirsch is digging, but he has to help us a little bit. We're doing a good bit on our own effort. Most of it on our own effort. Most of the other is done by two girls. Most. They're
Are they helping?
Yes. Do they know how? Yes. Thompson has hired a man to work this project solely. And I sat out with him on the FBI agent and went through how to do the network. Precisely what to go after, what to see, where to get the records, what it was he was working for. All credit purchases, what the storage, how that's done. It's a standard internal revenue approach.
That's certainly a different twist of the thing you never expected.
It is. It is. And it is really going to have a good thing.
The initial
response is yes, sir. Terribly upset about this because I did not think that anybody was going to pursue anybody's finances.
They thought he'd get away with this.
Yes. Yes. Thought he'd get away with this one.
See, here's another thing he didn't tell me. When he's supposed to have told all of the funny person.
Well,
he told darn little of the funny person. Turned out there's all a lot of other people.
Yes. Well, I'm very pleased with the way it's going at this point. I'm pretty well with Dean told the committee. There's not a thing we have to worry about. I'll tell you how confident I am. The other night, Ron got advance word that they were going to announce on television, call people, that Dean had a document that implicated the president. And I was over talking to Mel Air, talking to him about going to talk to some people on the hill, and I'm struggling with confidence. And he called me there, and I said, you know, I got the message from Ron Tucker. And so I told the girl, I said, well, it's no pain because it can't be. You watch television and tell me what they said down in Georgia, but he had got such documents. This is fresh layer quite a bit. Did you want me to turn on television? I said, no, I don't get television because they can't have any documents. It's present. It doesn't exist. And he's not stupid enough to manufacture it. And sure enough, there's no documents.
I wonder who put it out with the story. That's foolish for
them. Well, they put it out very sharply. They get up. All this stuff is very badly story is wrong.
Right.
Everybody's leaving.
Got delivered. Garbled.
But one policy came on television. And Fred Thompson is now convinced that not only has Dean not had a bombshell, but that he won't. And he has talked with Dean Spock and Dash at length about the conversation. Dean will not have any bombshell. We have both Dash and Thompson. You know, I talked to them. And what I told them was my hypothesis for the purposes of their cross-examination that Dr. Green struck what these meetings were about.
That's your notes were stored.
Those are, I didn't have any notes. I had any notes of that. Those are notes that Thompson subsequently wrote down and were leaked by Dr. Green, I think. He was finally glad to have something.
That was harmful.
They, you know, to Dean, you know, they put it on television. Dean denied to the person on February the 28th that anybody was involved. Denied on this date that anybody in the White House was involved. It was not until the 21st that he told the president anything. Yeah. This is
the truth.
Yes. And of course, the way to get it out.
Remember, I told you, accept it. Yes. That he said, possibly strong. Possibly.
Washington is wrong. Well, this was noted. But that doesn't bother me. But they have talked both to Dean on the side. And then subsequently they talked to his counsel. And Thompson is convinced that this, that you go in and try to make a complicated circumstantial case that you must have done. But why he assumed
I don't survive on the 21st.
And then...
Why didn't he come in and tell me? Why would I have jumped out of the chair? You see what I mean?
He's going to have that.
They're going to have that argument.
Yes. Now, the next thing is that now our credible, my credible is to give them offices is up 1,000%.
Why? Because of the money?
Well, no, sir. It's up because on that first meeting, on that September the 15th meeting, I said, you know, we don't know what happened there. The best I can ascertain, the real subject of the conversation the Dean was talking about was something about an IRS investigation of Larry O'Brien. Now, both Thompson and Dave felt that was, gee, you know, that could be embarrassing talking about an IRS investigation. They're embarrassing things in this conversation, but I'm just trying to give you the best I can reconstruct, even if they're embarrassing, because nothing to do with what it is we're talking about here. I'm trying to tell you. Dean came on hard with his meeting on September 15th about IRS investigation. Without them asking, they asked, well, was anybody's name come up in connection with an IRS investigation? He said, well, the only one, they said, Larry O'Brien. Well, it has a double purpose. One, it builds our credibility. But second, none of the Democrats want to pursue anything about IRS investigation. That's really why I gave them. Because I have reason to believe they don't want to go into that IRS audit. I don't.
We are trying to help. Dean was the one that's followed up. He never got enough. That's why he was brought up. He brought up the darn
test. But to the president, Dean was easily put off by the department. Oh, they did have something on that. There is something there.
There is?
Yes.
Off you done.
Dean just didn't take our.
You see, I thought there was all the time. I didn't see how he was getting the $20,000. Also, a lot more apparently than he reported. But, you know, look at it. He had every right to look for that. And there was a report out of Las Vegas Sun written a story on this. We can do that. If you look into it, they looked into the doggone thing. And I got nothing. Shows that we had talked about, we talked about getting somebody there at IRS to follow through. No, it's a tough conversation.
They found something. They didn't want.
What makes you think they found something?
Well, that's what they can do now, Steve.
Oh.
You have to go in back door at the working level and they didn't want to get into O'Brien during the campaign. They thought that they would really get into political controversy, politicized the IRS. So
we didn't mind.
That's right. They walked away from it. And the point is that the IRS is Democrat from top to bottom. They had something on O'Brien. Because Chuck Colson and I both went after the decision, both came to the same. Both got the same information.
Well, I remember we but the point was showing you that we were pretty decent about it, but nothing came. We never said a word about it. Nothing ever came out of the campaign. We called
my word. I didn't know about it, but recently. It was in Bob's presence. But that helps our credibility. It also worked
quite a
bit. Worked the committee. They don't want to talk about that. So that helps. I'm convinced the committee staff at least thinks things are going to make a fairly disappointing witness compared to the stories they had in the press. Now that is not to say you won't have a long, winding tail that's going to be hard to live with on Tuesday morning and the Monday night news.
Sure.
That's right. And he's going to reach out and smear everybody.
You think so?
Everybody that contacts his credibility.
Well, let me see.
He will try to handle it.
Who is he going to take on? Besides him?
Take on Moore.
Moore? I can't understand. What's wrong with that?
No, he's already done that.
How does it take more on?
The Acosta meeting.
Oh, he does.
That's what he does to take more.
But of course, that ties in all the person.
That's right. Colson.
Where you take him on?
Take him on. Did he talk to Hunt about clemency and payoffs? What?
Colson. Murder.
Well, that's the time. If it's so big, he demanded to be allowed to appear bothering him on the committee and everything else. They don't want to check out there.
We don't?
No, sir. They would not want to check on it.
Why not? Why doesn't one?
We do. Because they think Chuck plays too rough, and all of them are just a little bit frightened that when Chuck, you know, they believe his reputation. They've got the reputation of being a rough political player.
Yep.
And digging for information, whenever this comes out, it's post does and crazy. Information on Democrats, and they're rather wary of the fact that he might have found something. And they know if they put him on the stand and never ask him, or anybody ask him,
he'll say right off.
He'll say stuff.
And ask the committee to go into Democrats.
Yes, sir. And he'll get into the information, and if they think. So, nobody is here to call Chuck Colson before they come in. It's an interesting phenomenon. It's a good protection for Chuck. Nobody up there is really willing to tangle with him. And it gives him a lot more freedom to give us a hand than he would otherwise have.
More or less.
He will implicate Mitchell, but I suspect he will go easiest on Mitchell.
Right, because Mitchell couldn't do so much for him.
No, no.
Well, Mitchell can't do anything to Dean without doing it for himself.
That's right. Those are the questions.
That's enough.
But anybody that can attack this person. Or dispute his word.
Well. Now, what is your present thinking? Because you've got to
return. Well,
I don't want to have to be assessed on this Monday. Everybody on the panic and say, now let's get out of the way. I've got to go on television and the ocean and all that.
Absolutely.
I thought that went through. I think that Roger used the same
voice there.
I must never get in the position of Andrew Montgomery.
No.
He calls me an embezzler of deep.
We discussed that again today.
Yeah.
Good. It may be useful at some point, Python.
Yeah.
After we're over all the hurdles. Not because it's going to affect the impression that comes out of the sentence. But as a confidence building thing among the people.
Yeah.
For you to have a discussion of some type on purpose, I guess I it's the kind of thing that I feel I can do so well on, would be maybe with three or four reporters to sit down and have a hard chat. After the Senate Commit finishes this phase of material, after we've had Moron and Reduce and now Bob on.
Reduce and call it.
Statement.